Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together once more. Lord, looks like things in the world is heating up. And Lord, it's time for people to start running after you with all their heart. And Lord, I thank you for bringing that shaking on and shaking them out of those old apostate dead churches, Lord, and bringing them into the kingdom in a mighty way. They're going to know joy like they've never experienced joy before when they understand the truth of the gospel. And Lord, I just pray that your Lord of the harvest sends all of his evangelists out to seek the lost and show them the truth, Lord. I thank you for signs and wonders that are going to follow. And I praise you, Father, for all the heaven to be populated in the next few years. Oh, Father, it's going to be such an awesome time for your people. I ask you, Lord, that you prepare each one of us. Get us ready, Lord. Draw us ever closer to you. For the only thing we hear in our life is you. There ain't nothing in our heart, no love for anything but you, Lord. We're not even praying for heaven, because when we got you, we got heaven. And I praise you, Father, for all the work in each and every one of us you're doing, Lord, to bring us ever closer to that place of maturity that you want us in. Father, when this thing breaks loose, and boy, it sure looks like it's going to be any day now. And Father, I just praise you, and I glorify you, and I'm asking you, Lord, to bless us tonight with your leading. And Lord, anything that we do, I ask, Lord, that it be a blessing to you, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Hold on a second. Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
My mom just popped her head in the door quick and wanted me to remind her. She just popped her head in the door, asked me to remind her to do something. Anyway. Oh. My prayer request is that I sent my mom an article. The cross, the sword or the cross. And I think probably most of you know what that's about. So, because we started to have a conversation about that at her instigation, and I knew there was an article, and I wasn't sure what it was called, so I looked it up, and I made sure that Lord wanted me to send it to her, and he gave me a yes. So my prayer is, Father, I just asked you that my mom receive this article, Lord, that you open her eyes, Lord. And that she, it just really set her free, Lord. And that she really see the truth. And Lord, I even asked you to put it in her heart to send it to her pastor. Because Lord, you know, she said to me, well, I'll have to have you, my pastor, talk to you sometime and explain some things. And I didn't say anything, Lord, you know, I didn't. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. And I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, and I just praise you, Lord, for being so merciful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I lift up Missy, and I thank you for the wisdom you're going to give her, you've already given her, and discernment and the words to say if this does happen. And Father, I thank you that nothing but the word of God comes out of her mouth. In the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that this will change the way people look at the Word of God in her family. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're fixing to do there. In Jesus' name. I look at it as an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm like, I typed up a little brief thing, you know, and I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, to go along with the link. And I'm like, okay, should I send it the way it is? No. And I'm like, you know, I was like, I really wanted to make sure that I worded it and said what he wanted me to say and so forth. And I was casting lots, you know, drawing coins out of my pocketbook blindly, you know. And my mom and dad are both there snoozing in their chairs. So I'm like, okay, Lord, so I'm believing that it's going to be received and it's going to be really freeing. And I thank you, Lord, for that.
Amen. I believe it. Everybody else in here believe? We're going to see a miracle in her family. Just because of this one little obedient thing that she's done, it's going to bring her family closer to the Lord. I believe it. I believe everybody else does too. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then later, after everybody's done with their prayer requests, I have a, testimony, praise report, confession, repentance, testimony, whatever. Anyway, I'll tell you. I laugh about it. Because the Lord's so awesome. And it's like, thank you. The Lord did something today and got my attention, but I'll share that later.
Okay. Okay, anybody else? You got something, Wade?
No.
Okay, go ahead, Denny.
We wanted to pray for our son, Albert, in Alabama. He's 45. He doesn't know the Lord. He knows of the Lord. But he's got really bad arthritis. They found in his spine. It's been hurting for a long time. And he finally got checked out. And his back, his spine is just racked with arthritis really bad and up into his neck. So we just talked to him and told him that we'd pray for him here. He works really hard. He gets up really early, like 4:30, comes home, goes to bed. That's his cycle. And he hurts so bad during the day, he just can't wait to get to bed. So anyway, takes pain meds and sleep meds. And then he said that he had a really bad headache. It is supposedly behind his eyes. And he thinks it's so bad when he touches, even touching his eyes, it just pressure and pain. Him touch his eyeball with his, you know, over his lids, you know, got to do that, and it's really painful. So, you know, I know that I had arthritis bad in my back, and God's healed me. And I didn't talk to him about that yet because we plan to talk to him about healing and give him the book, The Real Good News. But I told him we would pray for him tonight, so.
Did you say that you did give him the book, The Real Good News?
We plan to. We're going to mail it to him. I don't know when we're going to see him, so we're going to mail it to him.
Yeah.
So we did last time we were there, we did leave the curse of unforgiveness. And I don't know if they read it, him and his girlfriend. He lives with his girlfriend. So, but he just needs a lot of prayer.
Jesus. You want me to pray, or y'all want to pray and let us believe with you, or what?
We can pray, and you can pray, too.
Okay, yeah, that'd
be fine. It's got good prayers.
Okay.
Okay, Lord, just lift up Albert, Lord. We all just pray for his healing, God, for healing for his arthritis. We rebuke it, God, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, God, for you to sovereignly just show him your love and your mercy by touching him, God, and bringing that healing to come to him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just pray you relieve him tonight of this arthritic pain in his back and neck and this headaches, Lord God. Just come against it in Jesus' name and just trust you, Lord, to heal him. We thank you, Father. You would just reveal yourself to him in this way, Lord. And bring him to a place of calling out to you, Father, turning to you, Jesus. I pray that when we send him this book, Lord, that he will read it, Lord. You will just get his heart, Father. He would just receive from you the truth, Father, and would be repent of his sins, God, and turn to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we just lift up Albert to you.
Yes, Jesus.
We probably prayed for him before, but Father, yeah. I would like to say this, and I want you to take Albert to whatever position you want him in that will get his attention to the real kingdom.
Yes,
Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And all we're going to do is praise your name because we know what's going on. And then once he gets a hold of this message of faith and truth of the gospel, Lord, the healing will come exactly like it's supposed to. And Father, we thank you that Albert's coming into the kingdom in a mighty way. And all this stuff is going to fly off of him just like water on a duck's back. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to be a mighty man of God once he gets a hold of you, Lord, once you get a hold of him and get his attention. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Albert is a mighty man of God. And that's all we're going to confess from this point on. And Albert is a mighty man of God. And Father, we thank you for that. It don't make any difference what we're looking at or what we're hearing. We thank you, Lord, that Albert is a mighty man of God. And not only that, he's going to have healing in his hands. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do in Albert. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise you, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God.
Praise God. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Sue. Or Judy, that's iPad, Judy. Glory be to God.
Yeah, I'd like prayer for me. I've just been really, really, really tired today. I don't know what it is. I've just been sleeping all day. I have absolutely no energy. That's what it is. I don't know why. So I just like prayer for me.
Okay, you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Raise your hands because God's fixing to put it to you, girl. In the name, put your hand on her, Sue, so she'll understand what's fixing it. Raise your hands, Judy. Get them hands up there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now. We command tiredness off of her.
Amen.
Fatigue, you go. All of those symptoms of tiredness and fatigue, you leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're infusing her right now with supernatural energy from this point on. And Lord, I thank you that when she lays her head down, she's going to get a full night's sleep. And in the morning when she wakes up, she's going to be bouncing off the walls, praising God. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to hear about it out there in the park tomorrow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. You
believe that? All right. Praise God. I believe it too. Thank you, Jesus, for Judy's complete supernatural energy that you're placing in her body in the name of Jesus. She won't be able to sit down for 2 minutes before she got to get up and dance before the Lord in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God.
Lord, for healing me.
Amen. I believe it, sister.
I do too.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. You just got yourself an infusion of the Holy Spirit and his energy. Woo, my, 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 my. You'll be bouncing off the clouds tomorrow. All right. Anyone else? I got a testimony. I just got a little. I took my truck over to a brand new auto parts store today. It's right down the road here. And I've been wanting to stop in there a couple of times, but I just never have. And I stopped in there yesterday. And I had a check engine light on my truck. And I asked him if he knew how to hook that thing up to it and find out what it is. He said, oh, yeah. I said, would you? He said, yeah, I'll do it. I sure will. He went out there. He said, this is what's wrong with it. He says, the cam position sensor's bad on it. I said, you got one? He said, I think so. I said, will you put it on? He said, yeah, I'll put it on there for you. We got to talking. And once he started putting it on there, he said, "Now, I ain't 100% sure this is going to work, because there's another sensor underneath it there that it could be that." And I said, I ain't believing that in the name of Jesus. Well, that one there is going to fix it. He said, "Amen, brother." So we got to talking. He said, "I'm going to ask you to pray for my son. At the age of 2 years old, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer." And these are believers, Christian people. And he said, "I went crying to the Lord. I said, 'Lord, I don't receive that. I'm not going to receive it. This is my son. And your word says that I don't have to accept this, and I'm not going to accept it.'" And the Lord talked to him while he was praying and told him that he was going to heal that young man. Wasn't going to be in Matthew, as the boy's name. His name is Matthew. Young man, about 25, 30 years old. And he told him, he said, "That I'm going to heal him. He's going to be a testimony to everybody in your family and your friends around you and all the people that you talk to." And he said, and he was. He said, we went back the next time that we were supposed to go back to the doctor, and the doctor said he still had the cancer. And we allowed them to do chemo. Of course, you know what happens when you're young and you're scared for your son. And he allowed him to do chemo, but he told him, he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'm asking you not to allow that stuff to kill anything but the cancer cells and not to affect anything in his body." And he did. And the Lord told him, said, "I'm going to do that." And anyway, he said he took him back after all this was done, and he was cancer free. They couldn't find anything. He said the boy never lost any weight. He said he gained weight during this whole time. He said he has been a testimony to everybody around him. And then I told him, I said, "Man, that is awesome. That is awesome." I said, "There's a lot of people out there that don't have that kind of faith to believe. They'll take the doctor's diagnosis and run with it, and they just believe." I said, "It's when you come down to the chase, it's when you understand that you're closer to God." He said, "It has brought me and my family together in Christ like we've never seen it before." I said, "God's done that. God's done it." And I told him, I said, "Let me tell you one thing now. A lot of times, these doctors, you got to watch them. They'll tell you that I don't find any cancer, just like he did a little bit over in Memphis. I don't find any cancer, but let's just do a little bit more chemo." I said, "It killed a friend of mine when they did that." They allowed him to do that. I said, "You don't allow them. God wants the glory, not those doctors." He said, "I understand." And so when I walked back in to pay him for that little bit of a sensor and stuff, he said, "You want a T-shirt?" I said, "Yeah, I want a T-shirt. What kind you got?" Here's what he got me. See, that says Love Team. What is it? Number Team Co-op. And then on the back, what does that say? Can y'all see it? A Joshua 1:9 is what it said. I believe that's what it said. Anyway, he gave me that. And so I told him, I said, "I'll wear that bad boy. I sure will." And he said, "Good." And so today I went over and gave him the real good news. And, he wasn't in the shop then or in the parts store, but the lady that worked with him was there, and I said, "Give that to Matthew, tell him it came from me." She said, "I sure will." So I'm believing for a miracle for this family. I want to pray for him too, and I want y'all to believe with me. Father, I lift up little Cooper at 4 years old, and I thank you, Lord, that you are forming a mighty little man of God right there. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to open up the eyes and the ears of the people around him, his dad, his mom, his grandpa, his grandmas, all of them, his aunts, his uncles, to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel. And he's going to bring them out of those apostate churches. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work right there in that little place, right there in that little auto parts store, because that daddy is on fire for God. And boy, he is a prime candidate for the truth. And Lord, I thank you that you have already placed in his heart to seek and to know you, Lord, in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Matthew's life. And I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. And I got to talking to him, and he was a mechanic. And I said, was you good? You know how I am. Were you any good? He said, yeah, I thought I was. He said, I thought I was real good. He said, one of my basic attributes was in diagnostics. He said, I can do that. God has gifted me with that. I said, well, selling parts, that's essential for doing something like that. I said, you've gotten the right business. Him and his cousin own that parts store that they just opened up down at Von Ohr. And it's we're going to start utilizing that, and probably pretty heavy. So, Lord, I just thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to do a prosperous business there for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. His name is Matthew. The little boy's name is Cooper. He's 4 now. I got to meet that little boy. Take him riding on that tractor. I'll have him for life. I guarantee. All right, anybody else? That's what I do with these kids around here in the fellowship. I take them one time riding on that tractor, and I got them. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I got a testimony and a prayer request for work-related prayer requests. Something come up here since yesterday, so I want to pray against it. But this morning, as you know, I texted you, Michael, and Matt. You know, I was kind of one of those times where, you know, I guess I kind of thought, well, let me pray. You know, let me stretch myself here, you know, faith-wise. And found out it was my battery in my car. You know, it's like a 5-year-old battery, so it was pretty much dead. And I was praying, and and this is a testimony of just what God's been doing in my life, you know, how much I've overcome. I would have just been so overwhelmed and getting worked up, you know, and just like really uneasy about things, you know, small as a battery was. I mean, I just, you know, I used to be so unstable emotionally and all that I just kind of, my emotions used to rule me like crazy. And then eventually, you know, I started to feel that anxiety. I started to feel that like worry and that fear come on me, but I just was praying in tongues, you know. I mean, it's prayed, you know, thank God for it, you know. And eventually I remember texting Matt, you know, hey man, pray for me, you know, let's agree this battery will be healed. And then I texted Michael, you know, I figured the more people the better. And then eventually, you know, I just kind of felt it, you know. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be late for work. So I mean, I ended up going inside to my apartment and getting online, getting a hold of Geico, you know, my insurance company, and just saying, well, you know, I need some help here. So they went ahead and brought a guy out about a little less than an hour later, and he changed the battery over. But I was encouraged. I mean, you know, it wasn't so much that, it was I was encouraged. I kind of thought, well, I'm sitting in my car, I'm waiting for this guy, let me open my Bible, let me actually get back in the Word here, you know. I mean, because I've struggled with that for so long, and it's like, you know, I just said, okay, let me get back out. And I was reading Psalms 103, and, you know, I just started reading it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've been here before. But verse 4 just stuck out to me. You know, I mean, the Lord spoke to me. It said the first part there. Or I could start in verse 3. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And this is what spoke to me, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I mean, during these times in the past, the enemy would love just to, like, you know, work me over. Oh, your life's gonna fall apart, you know, you're gonna be too, you know, late for work, and that's another point, you know, and what are you gonna do, Joe? And I used to just be so overwhelmed with that stuff, but it just kind of dawned on me. I was like, thank you, Lord, you know, my life's not gonna fall apart. So I felt really encouraged. It's just like, yeah, I mean, you know, he's gonna redeem your life, and you're not gonna be destroyed. So I mean, and I just was like at total peace when the Geico guy came. And yeah, I mean, I was encouraged, you know. I mean, just first time, I mean, you know, just really kind of opening the Word there. And like, you know, first verse just jumped out. I mean, like the fourth verse there just jumped out at me. And I, you know, went on to chapter 104, you know, but it's, yeah, I was quite encouraged. I was like, thank you, Lord. I needed that, that, you know, I mean, because before, I mean, I would pray and I would feel somewhat better, but that was just perfect, you know, right on time, you know, as he loves to do it. And, you know, so I just wanted to share that there, you know, how God at times, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen that plenty of times, but that was perfect for me at the time. I thought, wow, yeah, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And it's, and it kind of went with one of David's old 90s, late 90s messages. He was talking about that, you know, we don't need to be, our emotions, you know, don't need to rule over us. You know, we need to, they need to submit to us, you know, and so that just really spoke to me. I thought, that's a perfect example there, you know, so, oh yeah. And I wanted to have you all agree with me. The big railroad company over here, CSX, it's, you know, they supply all our rail cars, you know, where we get a lot of our juice from at work. Since yesterday, I guess they've had a lot of people, you know, what I heard, go on vacation. And I guess the guys who were like part-time, you know, like railroad workers with CSX, you know, they weren't wanting to work. I mean, this is the story I've heard. I'm not sure of the whole thing. And well, since basically over the weekend, we didn't get our, you know, rail cars that we were supposed to. And yesterday, I ended up going home early 4 hours. Today, the same thing for some other guys. So I just wanted to pray against that. You know, I just figured out the enemy's trying to disrupt things there. I'm not too worried about it. You know, whatever happens, happens. But I wanted to, y'all would agree with me that, you know, whoever's doing what, you know, will get their act together, you know, or get things back on track. So. Father God, I just thank you for, you know, what you're doing in my job. I thank you for this place. I can come in fellowship, you know, with like-minded believers. But Lord, we can come to you with our problems, no matter how big, no matter how small, and you answer our prayers. I thank you that you're a prayer-answering God. You know, it doesn't matter how big it is. You will answer it because you love us that much. And Lord, I just pray over the situation with CSX, you know, Lord, I thank you that, you know, Lord, for what you're going to do there. I thank you that you're going to deal with the situation. You're going to convict whoever, I guess, made the decision to, you know, to not cause these guys to say, hey, let's get to work. Let's get this stuff done. You know, we have customers out there that need their products, you know, that need these rail cars, and that's our job. So, Lord, I pray you would, you know, put some fire under their backside and get them moving, you know, so to speak. But Lord, you know, you move in the situation, put it on that person's heart, you know, put it on those guys' hearts who need to be out there on the railroad working, you know, cause them to say, hey, you know, okay, I was wrong for saying, no, I don't want to work. And it's time to get to work here. So Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. You know, the whole situation, I know only so much if that, so Lord, work in this situation here to where not just us, but other customers who need their product can get their product and can get on with their business. You know, we thank you for what you're doing, and then you get all the glory there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Joe Materny. Father, we thank you for putting him in the rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Nene, go ahead, brother.
Okay. Yeah, we're going back up to Illinois for probably a couple of weeks. Victory's having her baby, and we're going to be there to help out, and so as long as we're needed. So. But anyway, we want prayer for that just to cover us. And so we thank you, Father. We thank you for being with us and protecting us all the way for Journey's mercy. And we pray especially for Victory and the little baby, Father, that they'll come through fine and they'll be blessed, Father. It'll be a blessed time to see this child, Lord God, and bless Victory in all this time. Mm-hmm. And just help us with our other two children and with Junior that's there. We just thank you, Father. We praise you. Thank you, God.
Amen. Lord, let this be a blessing for Denny and Debbie and also for Victory. And we thank you for it, Father, and that little baby. We thank you, Lord, that Your angels will be about Denny and Debbie the whole time, and that baby's going to be fine, and Mama too. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to share, I hope it's okay to say this, but Sweet Tasha gave, we paid a lot for Victory here. And so she wanted to bless Victory with her birthday money, which she did. And it was so sweet. So Victory just can't wait to, she wants to meet her through video chat. So she wants to do that. And that's going to be a really good thing. We're going to pray over that. And while we're there, she's going to get on with Tasha. Just wants to see her and thank her. And so just thank the Lord that he's, I just trust God's doing the work in drawing her to everybody here through prayer. So it's going to be good. And I ask for that, for God to bless that time on that video chat with Tasha. So.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that. That's going to be a blessing for Tasha, and it's also going to be a blessing for Victory, too, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for that nice friendship that's going to strike up here shortly.
Amen.
Jesus'
name.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother. I saw you over there chomping at the bit. No, I did. I said, he wants to say something. Well, praise God.
Yeah, I'd like to ask for a prayer for my back, and I'm feeling like there's stiffness all through my back and everything, and I have been noticing over the last I'm going to say a year, numbness coming and going in my toes, and then every once in a while, I'll feel numbness in my my fingers, and so I have been standing against it and rejecting it and claiming the Lord's healing. And then it dawned on me that it's a consequence of something in my back. My back is strained or something. So I just want to pray for healing for my back, for the numbness in my toes, for whatever tingling in my fingers that come up or whatever, and to heal it at the source, at the root of the problem. And so I'm just believing the Lord for that healing on the basis of his word. So I'd like to ask for prayer on that as well.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we lift up Pat T. Lord, we thank you for his earnestness toward running after you. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of infirmity off of him. We command it to go. We command that back to line up with the word of God in the name of Jesus right now. Everything in that, from the top of his spine to the bottom of his spine, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. And I command straightening of the muscles and tendons and everything else to be lining up with the word of God and to be healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that there's no more pain, no more numbness, none of that anymore in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that Pat is healed completely. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. We praise you, Father, that he is healed. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You're here.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Glory to God. I feel like singing, dancing before the Lord. I didn't think y'all would laugh at me. I'd do it. Come on. All right. Anybody else? I feel good tonight. I'm going to tell you something. God's doing some stuff around here. Y'all realize how short time is? Y'all feel a little bit of electricity in the air? Well, get ready. You're fixing to get shocked. Lord of God. God's glory fixing to fall, y'all, for his bride. The anointing is coming soon. Glory to God. Woo, my. I get to thinking about that, man. I just want to shout. Glory to God.
Thank Michael, you. Can I say something?
Hurry up. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Pat.
When Missy mentioned that about her mother saying, let me talk to, talk to the pastor and give, let him know what's going on or whatever. It's that very thing right there that the majority of people are hanging on, and that is that little that I can go back to the guy that knows, I can go back and trust in the guy that knows this thing because he's got all the PhDs and all the letters behind his name and everything like that. And I think that that's obviously what the Lord is removing from the equation right now in this process. And so I just praise the Lord that that he's got to remove that crutch before, unfortunately, people in there then find themselves in that hopeless, helpless state, will then start to search and seek, and then God will provide that that answer for them. But it's like Jesus said, we have to have ears to hear before we can hear. And so it was that example that Missy brought up that just kind of reinforced that. So I just praise the Lord. I can see what he's doing, and we're moving in that direction. So, and I just pray that I will be prepared to provide the answer, provide the direction, and lead people to Christ and trust in him through this process and through this time. So that's another prayer request in case you missed it, that I want to be prepared for the process as well.
When I talk to preachers, or anybody for that matter that's hung up into a denominational church, one of the things that I ask them first off is, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? And if you can establish that with them, you've got a little bit of something there to go with. And when you start bringing out the scriptures that show whatever it is that you need to show them, and if they believe the Word of God, that is the Word of God, then you shouldn't have a whole lot of trouble. But I know what happens. That religious spirit comes out at times. But that's what I always start out with. If they're truly interested in the truth of the gospel, of what the Word of God says, they'll listen. But if they're not interested in that and they only want to do what they've been taught by man, one fallen head teaching another fallen head, then you're real quick whether you're wasting your time or not.
Do you ever have them have you ever had any of them say, no, I don't believe the Word of God?
No. Every one of them. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. So how many, and I've read the Word of God, and I know it forwards and backwards. I said, what's on page 744? And you can stop them right there, But that's the critical stuff that you know real quick when you run up against a religious spirit. And so the best thing to do then is just shake your head and go on, Leave it alone and pray for them.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? Missy, you need some earphones, I bet you, don't you?
I actually have my Bluetooth in my ear.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah.
I didn't know if you did or not. All right, anybody else? Well, there's a lot happening in the world that leads me to believe that God's really fixing to do something here. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I remember when David read something in Luke chapter 2, and he came to that word in the end of the first verse that says enrolled. And he just finished, I think, reading something I don't know where I got this, but he could have been off of the one of the videos, anyway, that I have on disc here from the Prophecy Club. Okay, and he read something about chapter 12 of Revelation, and then he came to this enrolled part here. And I highlighted that enrolled the day he did that, the day I heard that. And he said that enrolled at the Luke chapter 2, the last word of the first verse, meant a writing of separation. And that, of course, is a different covenant, the 927 covenant of Daniel. And I wanted to know what this writing of separation meant. You know, I wanted to know, like, well, what does this entail? Like, when is this going to come to pass? You know, like, what is this enrolled that Caesar wants to do to the people, you know, then? And, you know, I knew that that you were not supposed to number God's people because it was against the law. And David numbered God's people. So I knew that had something to do with it. But I know that this is a reference of something that's going to happen in the future. So I was going, well, what's the deal here? You know, and since it's the 927 covenant of Daniel, I go, well, what's our covenant? You know, what's our covenant? Our covenant's in Hebrews 8 and 10, you know, and it was mentioned, I think, maybe last conference call about the word being written on your heart and in your mind. And I'm going, well, this then has to be a different writing upon your heart and mind that Caesar Augustus would be the representation of nowadays on I'm always like fascinated by this, and a verse popped into my head, you know, the Lord does that, and he gave me Matthew 24 and 15, you know, and you get that 15 by having 5 and 10 of the same chapter, I was just amazed with this different enrollment. They want to enroll you back into the world, and they want to enroll you back into a society that wants to govern over everything. That's God's also. You know, you can look at every single problem that was in the seven churches, and that's part of this enrollment. And you know, I also put in brackets here, you know, like I was doing this little study. It was great reading the whole thing, and God was opening up a lot of stuff here to me. And you know, it's where God's going to start coming against this Caesar that's going to be in our day, and he's going to say, no, Egypt, let my people go. And you know, immediately after this, you know, you even got the God's people being enrolled into this, to some level, because, you know, you all belong to a nation, and, you know, they were all carried off to Babylon, but we don't belong to any nations. We belong to the kingdom. And immediately after this, Joseph and Mary went to be enrolled. And then she was going to be delivered. And she wrapped them in swaddling clothes and laid them in a manger. And this manger is where they used to feed animals, the beasts. And an unregenerated man is likened to a beast. So we have to partake of this Lamb of God, because this is a sign, this wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. You know, to get rid of the beast in all of us, we have to partake of this. I don't want to say this because it sounds funny, but it just sounds like you're partaking of the Lamb of God. He's already wrapped up like a sandwich in the manger for a person to partake of. And that's all of Jesus, and it's rated as a sign. You know, the sign when they change the water to wine, and that's a sign too. You know, you fill up on this water, and the Lord changes it to the life in you. And then it also says that there was he was put in this place for us because there was no room for him in the inn. I have a lot more references here. And I like what happens right after this. The angels go to the shepherds. And we've got some shepherds around today. And these shepherds get heavenly informed by these angels. And these shepherds are you know, angels are both heavenly and earthly. And it's just really exciting. They were in the fields too. So these people actually have something, and they can watch, you know, watch that no one partakes of this 927 covenant, which is the enrollment, because our covenant is for Jesus. And they kept watch by night. It was going to be a very dark time, and we can see that today. And of course, they were afraid of this heavenly calling, as we tend to go in and out of this fear of what's happening in the future. But we have to be comforted by the Lord. The angels told them not to be afraid. So they're going to bring good tidings of great joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, which shall be to the whole people. And he didn't just say Israel there. He said the whole people, all his people. And he told them about in the city of David, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, being born. You know, I sort of thought, and I said, well, here's the angel telling them that Christ is being born. But I seem to remember in the book of Acts that the angel didn't, he told them to send for Peter. So we're going to need some a Peter's in the future to do this. And And then again, of course, it mentions the baby wrapped in the swaddling clothes and lying in the manger there, which you are to partake of. And they also say this is a sign for you. And then suddenly there was the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts of those praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men and good pleasure. And, you know, for some reason, he stopped me at the word of hosts, and he reminded me of a psalm that I tried to remember by heart out of the King James Version. And it talks about lifting up your eyes unto the Lord. O ye doors and gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in. And who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts is the last verse there, but it's kind of a, if you read the whole psalm, it's kind of a mountain experience, because it mentions a mountain there. And I was just overwhelmingly excited about this. And it was just today the Lord popped something in my head since we were praying for our infirmities. We don't want to be enrolled into our infirmity. So we got to be enrolled with Christ. And I was going, Lord, can this apply the same way, these things that you have shown me? This enrollment, is this a test for us? Is this a temptation whereby people are we a little awkward here trying to say that we might not be healed of something? You know, we fight the good fight of the faith till we see it come to pass. You know, I don't really ask for prayer much, but you know, I've had some problems and I still want to see them healed. And I like to go on my own with the Lord, before the Lord, for these things. And I still want to see them come to pass. You know, like I want to see my healings and stuff. And it's just kind of interesting. You know, I got like lots more here, but it would be too much to get into everything. You know, I do say that watching by night for those shepherds, you know, that's obviously the eyes that see, that Jesus mentioned, you know, and it's really talking about prophecy there, I think, and how these shepherds are going to reveal to the people not the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word, you know, well, one of the big ones is that the temple of the Lord, you know, they're going to have to be showing the spiritual temple, the Naos temple, and not the Herion temple, you know. Those are the Greek words for it, you know. You know, David can sometimes mention these Greek words, and I go, I'd sure like to have an understanding of some of them, you know. But just with the few ones I do know, it can advance you and help you. And this is just something that the Lord, you know, was showing me about. This one little thing, all I had was enrolled highlighted at the last word of the first verse, and all I put there was writing of separation. And I was going, well, what can this be, you know? And he showed me about the waters coming down in Luke 6:49, where they depended on the earthly word. And it took the house away, you know. and the other one that was built upon the rock, they kept, you know. So he was showing me verses like that to depend upon. So that comes back to that verse there where he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in his name. He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you. So I had a really long weekend, so I kept going back to this too, and because of today, I was looking at that. I didn't know if I should share this with you. And anyway, well, you know, that's glory to the Lord, and I hope if it helped anyone, that it's all glory to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you, Andrew. As far as people understanding the truth, when this thing breaks open, these people are going to be hungry for the truth, because they know that what they've had before is false. It's a false Jesus. And once they understand that the truth is there and for all to see, they're going to be just like what do you call those things in your sink? Food thing, you pull your food down in. They're going to be like that, man. They're going to be accepting that word. It's going to really go in. We're going to see people growing up in weeks rather than years in the days ahead.
Well, this is why I think we have this conference call to inspire people that maybe if I said something that would that might inspire another word from God to you, not from me, but from God to get a good idea on something, you know, and to relay this, because you don't know. This was like a writing of separation, and this is what I got, you know, and there's a lot more to hear that I've written down. And you know, there's a lot of things that he's going to restore for us, you know. And there's the Joel restoring, and that's rain, you know. And if it's rain, the latter rain, which the locust, the canker worm, and the farmer worm, and the caterpillar destroyed, that's water. You're going to be watered with it, and it's going to change you, because it's going to make life appear. Where water is, life comes. And that's just an encouragement, I think, for us. So that, you know, there's quite a few notes there. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. But I'll say one thing that David has taught over the years is this, is that when the anointing comes for the bride, all will be healed. All will be healed in the bride that have been enduring in their faith to believe. Well, you know, I've got things that I've been believing for years. And I know that when this thing comes, we're all going to be wiped free of all of this stuff. So, yeah, I believe it. Lord of God, man, I'll tell you what, that's a shouting time then. Man, ain't gonna leg to be able to be growing out on people. I'm telling you, brains are going to be straightened out. Memories are going to be restored. Man, alive, hearing's going to be restored. Eyeballs is going to be restored. Man, Lord of God. I believe it too. Well, yeah, Leon, I'm sorry I didn't see you there. You just kind of blended in, brother. Go ahead.
That's all right, Michael. Andrew, when you were talking about the enrollment, I'm sure you thought about the Mark of the Beast, because that's today. That would indicate what that enrollment would be, you know.
Yeah, that's Sorry, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, those are some of the verses that did pop into my head, like it was about the Exodus 13:16, and that's what I meant when I said Matthew 24:15, because right. That's the prevalent thing there is they've been doing this enrollment for a while already.
Right.
It's going to be instigated at a future day, and we don't want our hands to do something wrong. And like I said, well, like your brain has to be fixed too. We got to love the Lord with our works and our mind. And I remember David saying that you get there's a healing for the one in the mind. But if you get that mark in your hand, there's no healing for it. So you got to get what's in your mind to do the works in your hand. So you don't want to get that mark in your hand, you know. And I think I will remember with just the Matthew 24:15 there. You know? And 5 and 10 is 15. And,
actually, Sue got a she had a dream last night about the mark of the beast, and I don't know if she wants to share that or not, but that might give you some insight into what she thinks is going to happen. You want to share that, Sue?
Hold on a second.
Yeah. It's a different theory on the mark of the beast, but it was interesting.
We're fixing to go all digital here.
All what, digital?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's going to be digital. Even the money is not going to be any money. That's fixing to happen, I think, this year.
Yeah.
That we'll be going all digital, mostly.
Did you guys hear about what happened over there in India with some of the brethren?
They had this
new banking system, and some of the brethren actually didn't want to have this number, and they stuck to it, and some of them actually died of hunger because they thought it was the mark of the beast. And,
well, when does the mark of the beast occur?
Well, that's mid-trib. We have to. Yeah. We have to have the 927 enforced.
Our flesh.
What's that, Sue?
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was on.
Yeah, but most people don't know about the first half of the tribulation and the second half. So we're at an advantage that we know what's going to happen, but most of the Christian nation does not, you know, here or in worldwide. They just don't know what's going to happen. They're reading it for a literal thing, and it's not spiritual, you know. So we're in an advantage to them. Anyway, I'll turn it over to Sue, too.
Well, I had it was in the morning before I went off to get up for the meeting. It was this morning. I woke up around 3 o'clock, and I woke up all of a sudden. I was wide awake, and then I remembered that I had I don't know if I had a conversation with the Lord or just he was talking to me, but I felt like he was saying that, he's giving some information that he was saying that Trump was he was talking about Trump, that he would be wanting people to be taken care of, so he's going to offer the chip to them. You know, to take the chip, to take that you know, get it implanted and stuff. And I mean, that's not the word I heard, implanted, but they would take, he would offer them to take a chip so that they could be taken care of. And I wasn't sure. I just had a sense that maybe that Trump didn't really understand the evils of that, what that meant. But I felt like the Lord said to forgive him, because that's God's purpose. Bob, God's got to make that division that, you know, the ones that are not really following the Lord, you know, they're not part of his body, then they're going to take the chip. It's kind of like, I kind of thought too, after we were talking about it all and everything, that it's just like the tares and the wheat, you know, because there's believers that are going to take the chip. I think it's okay. And maybe that's what people are not thinking, that this chip means that, you know, they're going to get taken away from the Lord, you know. But we just have to forgive, recognizing that, because I like Trump, and he's been doing a lot for our country, but I mean, God has a purpose and a plan, and he has to separate his, you know, the tares from the wheat, and those that are not going to follow him are going to take the chip, which is related to the mark of the beast. But David said, and I believe it's like, people are already following the beast because they're following the things of the world. They're doing the things of the world, even those that are believers. And if they can't get away from the things of the world, then they're going to be taking the chip, because they're going to want to have their flesh taken care of, you know. But, you know, the thing that I got out of that was like it was like Trump was thinking it was a good thing to do, but it's not. That he may not be aware, you know, because he's been wanting to help people out, but he might not be aware that this is just, but it has to happen. So anyway, I asked the Lord for some scriptures in relation to that, and to see whether or not it was him giving it or was it of the enemy? I didn't know. So, but I think the scriptures kind of spoke for themselves. But anyway, I gave it to David today, so he's got the. He'll work on that.
Did you want to go ahead and give us the scriptures?
The scriptures. Well, I asked him three questions. The first one I asked him is, are you truly, did I hear this truly from you? Did I hear from you? And I got Lamentations 1:10 on the word sanctuary. Lamentations 1:10. And I'm going to include 11, 1:10, Lamentations. The adversary has stretched out his hand over all her precious things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary. My finger was on the word sanctuary. The ones whom you commanded that they should not enter into your congregation. All your people groan seeking bread. They have given their precious things for food to restore their lives themselves. See, O Lord, and look, for I am despised. But when I said they were looking for, you know, wanting food, that tells me that there's going to be famine, and that's maybe what's going to, people are going to take the chip for, you know, make sure they're taken care of. The other one I asked, another question.
When I'm seeing in that 11 things for food to refresh the soul, that's spiritual food, isn't it?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, in that verse 11, they have given their pleasant things for food to refresh the soul. That's spiritual, isn't it? Could be both, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it made me think of that, you know.
Okay.
Kind of want. you know, I don't know if that's the correct thing, but and then I asked, what was Trump doing? Was Trump the one that was doing that, you know, in the dream? And I got Micah 7:3-4. And that, my finger was on 3, and it was on 2 words, in one on top of the other, each other. Prince was at the top, and a great man was right below that. So my finger was on both of them. So this has to do with who it was. This Trump, and anyway, concerning evil. Both hands do it well. The prince asks also the judge for a bribe, and a great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. And the day when you post your watchman, your punishment will come. Then their confusion will occur. And then the last one I asked was, what the Lord would want me to pray about in regards to this. And I got 1 Corinthians 1:16. My finger was on the mind of Christ. And that whole chapter, I don't know if you want me to read that whole chapter, because I read that already. Of course, you guys can read it. It's a lot of verses. But it all relates to us having, listening to the Spirit of God and making sure that we have the mind of Christ, and that will safeguard us and keep us from deceit and the lies of the enemy. Basically, is just to stay close to Him and know Him, to know His voice. So that's what I prayed. But yeah, it was... so anyway.
Amen. Amen.
So what was the previous verse that you got?
Micah 7:3-4. That related to, was this Trump? You know, is this Trump that's going to do this? I felt like previous to that, if that was, you know, because I'm not used to having these kind of things, and I want to make sure it's the Lord, but I kind of felt like Trump was saying, don't be harsh on him, because this is my plan. You know, I'm wanting him, you know, if that's him, if the Lord wants to do that, he's going to use Trump that way, even though it's a negative, it's a bad thing. But he's going to think of, it's like, I felt like he was saying, he's going to think it's a good thing for the people to take the chip. You know, that's what was my sense, you know, about that dream. So anyway.
Amen. Well, I can see how that would happen.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of false revival people up there advising him spiritually. Right.
Yeah. They're thinking they want the one world religion, the new world order, you know. They think it's everything that's good, not.
So we need to pray for Trump that, you know, he repents and realizes what he's doing, that he comes to the Lord, because he is.
Well, if the Lord wants him to do that, yeah. You know, but even after that happens, hopefully before his time goes, he'll be able to repent, you know.
Right.
Lord, however how you want to do it, that'd be all right with us. In Jesus' yeah. name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we just would like to see him and his family saved, though.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, as you know, the mark is coming at the center part of the tribulation after 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's going to separate the tares from the wheat. All right. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else? Any question about end time prophecy? I'm sure somebody will have some answers. Go ahead, Missy.
I don't have any questions. I just was going to share my testimony, or whatever you want to call it. Well, it's thundering here. Fudge is shaking. No fear in Jesus' name. The Lord gave me an attitude adjustment today. I was going, it was an attitude adjustment, and that attitude was selfishness. But anyway, but what happened was, I was going down the turnpike. I don't remember where I was at. My son Kurt asked me, well, where were you? I don't remember. Maybe halfway here. I don't know. And there was a van a little bit ahead of me. And all of a sudden, out from under this van comes this tire. And I'm sure it was a tractor trailer tire, part of a tire. And I saw like red lettering or red striping on it or whatever. And it comes like hits like the front underneath of my car in the middle. When I go over it, my tires didn't hit it or anything, I don't think. Anyway, what it did was it took out like the like there's like a fake grill that sits low. And I didn't realize that until after I had stopped about half hour from getting here. But when it happened, I'm like, I don't receive that. No damage to my car. Da 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 da. And so when I got out, I saw what happened, and it broke off of a bolt. There's some plastic up underneath the car, whatever. They're close to the front. It didn't do anything to my bumper, but it has the lettering. It has black tire rubber on my bumper, and it has the yellow lettering that rubbed off, and you can see the letters right on my bumper. It's not enough to tell, you know, what it said or whatever, but, and so I'm like,
or tattooed it on your bumper?
Yes. But it doesn't look like it damaged the paint. It just, you just got to use something to get it off or whatever. And it didn't break the bumper or nothing. But anyway, and there was something that was hanging down like a wire with some kind of clip or something. And it looked like maybe it was supposed to be clipped to something. I don't know what it was. I'm going to have my son Kurt look at it. But so I'm like, going down the road thinking about this, and I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, for Michael's prayer that I was protected. And I'm thinking, okay, did I pray for the protection of my car? I'm thinking, I don't recall praying for the protection of my car, but anyway. And so then I really started thinking, I'm like, Lord, okay, the Lord is just like, something's not right. What's wrong? I'm like, so I get my pocketbook out and my change, and I blindly pull coins. I'm like, okay, Lord, did this happen because I sinned or something, like, you know? I'm like, and I got a yes. I'm like, oh, okay, what is it? So, but this, the short of it is the Lord showed me that I had a bad attitude about, not wanting to give up any of my time that I'm used to spending with the Bible study, with outreach here and everything. And anybody that was on Saturday night probably detected that attitude. And the Lord just spoke to me that, Missy, you're there to serve, you know, you know, if your parents want you to do something like play Scrabble or something like that, you know, and if it infringes on the, you know, specific times or whatever, you know, just, he was just telling me, Missy, you know, bad attitude about that. I just, and so he was just really convicted me about that. But I don't think it did any mechanical damage or anything like that. I mean, I just went on my merry way and the car was running fine, and believing there's no mechanical damage, I'm going to have my son Kurt look at it when I see him hopefully tomorrow. But so I just I had to repent. I needed that attitude adjustment, you know. That got my attention. So thank you, Lord. The Lord's good. He's like, because I mean, that would not have been good if I'd come here with that attitude. Mm-hmm. You know.
Are you that bad in Scrabble? Is that what it is?
No. I'm not that bad, but I'm not that good either. My gosh, my sister. She plays Scrabble. Her and my brother both. They're just like, oh, they're dog eat dog. I mean, they're just, oh my gosh. I love playing the game, and I really don't care that if I win or if I lose, you know. I like playing it, you know, when I do play it, you know, with my family. That's usually the only time I play it, you know. I never make a specific point to, you know, just when the family gets together, but just, I'm just like so thankful, you know. That's because, you know, that tire, it could have flew up and hit my windshield. It could have gone bouncing and flew up and hit my windshield. I didn't even have any time to respond, is put my brakes on or swerve or nothing. But it just kind of like hit on the lower front of my bumper and just like went down underneath. And so I'm like, thankful, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me. And protecting me.
But amen.
Thank you for the attitude adjustment.
Yeah, we all need that occasion. Some of us than others.
You know, at first I was thinking, you know, that this was a test or something, you know, about, you know, material things, that, you know, how much do I love my car? Was this going to be really upsetting to me? Was it going to really bum me out or whatever? And, but eventually the Lord got me thinking more, okay, Lord, did I do something? But I did have a real test last summer. Somebody backed into my car and put a dent in my door, you know? And, and I heard some people talking, and I'm like, and I heard somebody say something about Missy's car, and I'm like, uh-oh, something happened with my car, you know? And I found out somebody backed in my car by accident and put a dent in my door, you know? And that was a real test, but it really didn't bother me at all, you know? I was kind of like, you know, at first I was like, uh-oh, you know? And then I was like, Lord, it's just the car, you know? And I didn't even ask the person to pay to fix it, you know, because it's just a vehicle, you know. It still worked, the door still worked, you know. But so anyway, the Lord's good. He's good. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Missy.
Hey, what? Missy,
did you happen to check in your mirror and see what happened to the person behind you?
No, because it just totally just like, it totally, see, Fudge jumped up. It scared her, you know?
Yeah.
And it just happened so quick. I didn't even think to look in my rear view mirror. But I did, you know. I was, you know, afterwards, after I had time to think about it later on, I started, I thought, you know, I hope, you know, I prayed that nobody had, you know, it caused anybody to have an accident.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, could have been a 14 car pileup back there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let's pray for Fuzzy. She's here panting and she's shaking because she hears this thunder and she used to not be afraid. So can you pray for her, Michael?
Yeah. Fudge, you listening? You're going to receive this? Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we command fear off of Fudge. You go from her in the name of Jesus. We command it in the name of Jesus that the fear goes, and she'll be at peace all through the storming season. In any storm, she'll always have the peace of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Fudge. In Jesus' name. I believe it.
No more fear. No more fear of thunderstorms. Mm-mm. Thank you, Lord.
Settle down, Fudge. Don't make me come through that glad, you girl.
Say, I'm good. I'm a happy puppy, happy, happy,
yes,
happy.
Yes, she is.
Happy puppy, happy, happy.
Okay.
Anxiety go in Jesus' name. That must go too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Michael. Bless you, Lord.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Maybe something to comment on or a question or whatever. Something about the word.
Well, Michael, you started to say something earlier about things going on, and I think you and somebody else started to talk at the same time, and you were polite and let them go. But I want to hear what you were going to say now.
Well, the only thing I was going to say was the Middle East over there. They're Saudi Arabia and many other Muslim countries, Arab countries, are pressuring Palestine to accept this treaty with Israel. And we may be real close to that. I'm talking about, I forget the guy's name, it's the head of the Palestinian organization over there, that he's been totally against doing anything with Israel. But when you get pressured by your own brothers, then, you might see something happen here shortly. I don't know if it's going to be days, weeks, months, I don't know. But we do know that the news is saying that they are being pressured, the Palestinians are being pressured to come to the table with Israel. Yeah, Leah.
I saw a headline today that said that Jared Kushner, who was supposedly working that agreement out, said that he didn't think the Palestinians wanted to do it, that it was off the table. The whole ordeal was off the table.
Yeah, but what's happening behind the table is that they are being pressured by people that support them.
Right.
And when they lose support, which they will if they keep on, then it will come about here shortly. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying it's within days, but I'm talking about, the next few months. We might see the things signed, I don't know, or at least come to some sort of an agreement. So let's see. That's just one thing. Yeah, Pat.
I know that President Trump is open to that concept of dividing Israel or dividing Jerusalem or whatever that is. And I don't think he is aware of the ramifications of that. And that kind of fits in with what, to a certain degree, with what Sue is thinking. I know that I was, I don't know whether to pray against that or exactly what there, but I know that at some point it will happen, and then it doesn't matter. I mean, what Trump says or doesn't say, you know, the nation will be judged because of it. So I don't, that's one of those things that I don't know how to pray for or against, or what does the Lord want to do here or whatever. But I know he's very, Kirshner is very close in involved in that situation, and he definitely has President Trump's ear. So I don't know.
You know what's going to happen if they sign that thing. First thing that's going to happen, they're going to split the United States, right? It's happened too. In four ways. Vertically and horizontally, too. But I believe that's all planned by the Lord. You know, these things have to happen in order for people's attention to be gotten. They're not gonna seek out the Lord without a big shaking. If you remember back in 2001 when 9/11 occurred, people flocked to the churches for just a little while. And then they quit going. When this thing starts, y'all, when the earthquakes start, it's not going to stop. It's going to be continual shaking throughout this whole 7 years. It's going to be people. They're going to be scared. They're going to be scared. And they're going to be running. That's why the Lord says it's going to be a great revival. Matter of fact, it's going to be the biggest revival that we've ever seen. Yeah, Leah.
Yeah, but with that bombing in Sri Lanka, people aren't going to want to go to church.
Well, you don't want to go to a dead one for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, they won't know where to go unless the Lord tells them. So, but
bingo.
With all of that stuff that's going on, then they're going to be drawn back and forth. They want to go to hear the word, but they don't know where to go because they're afraid they'll get blown up or there'll be a fire or something like that. So, you know, it's going to be a catch 22. That's what I wanted to say, a catch 22. So,
Just remember this. Those that God have chosen are going to be looking for the truth.
Absolutely.
They're going to come out of those dead churches and they're going to be seeking somebody that knows something about the Lord. And the ones that they're going to look at are the ones that have the power of God behind them.
All right.
Amen.
I agree.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah, Brian.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's one thing that impressed me as I was going over last Wednesday's Bible study, your portion of it, Michael. The part on the bride, especially in the Song of Solomon, which he said, "Tell me, where do you feed your flock?" And he ended up telling her, "By the shepherd's tents." And I felt like that's how I got linked up with you all this time, is I kept, you know, I was not content. I was not content. Something in me knew, you know, because of the so much word that I have, something in me knew there was more, and I was not content. And I kept seeking the Lord and, you know, where do you want me? Where do you want me? And then this time it was, you know, it's time now. And then I just kept having this little urge, you know, go back on UBM, go back on UBM. And I struggled. And one day I just plugged it in and now I'm here. But the bride, it's like you're saying, the bride. The Lord has put this desire in her that she has to be with him and with his people. And so I really believe she will be, you know, those people that the Lord has put this into will be asking him that question. Where are you feeding your flock? Where are you feeding your flock? And he will
direct them to the shepherd's tent. Amen.
Amen. I have to too, because that's what happened with me. When my husband passed away, I didn't know where to go. And I did go to a church that I thought was full gospel, but it wasn't. It was a Baptist church. And I just felt like there was deadness there, and I didn't want to deal with that anymore. And I just cried out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I want to be where your people are. I want to be where your truth is, where your life is, because that was important to me, you know? And like you were saying, it just touched my heart. It grabbed on me like, you know, I got to have this. You got to show me, Lord, bring me to where I need to go. So I was tired of dealing with religion. I didn't want a religion. I wanted to be where God's people were. And that's where he directed me to come here. So I can totally understand what you're saying.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was looking at also Matthew 13, 24 and 30. It at the very end, it talks about putting all his fruit in his barn. But you know, you can associate that with where Jesus was actually born, in a stable. It was kind of like a barn, and that's where you have to go. You have to go to him for all that good seed and all that good fruit. And that was one of the other verses that I got with Jesus in the manger there. You got to go to him for your fruit. And anyways, that's the good seed and the bad seed there. You know, the enemy came in, and that's the enemy's new covenant that he wants to make. And in Daniel 9:27, and you know, you have to go to that. You know, they just, because it's Caesar Augustus. You know, they numbered Israel because they wanted the taxes. And taxes is money, and mid-tribulation, they're going to get what they want, the money. But you know, Caesar, when he numbered the people, he's got to share that information with the people of Israel. And because they want to know how much they can collect. And the value of this is a different kind of currency than what you're supposed to have. Anyway, that's about it. You know, he numbered them, but he had to share that information with the people of Israel. And that's where I'm at so far. I'm trying to figure out what that means. That he divided them. He had to take over them, but he also had to work with what was there. And eventually they lost everything, because I think he made it privy to them that he shared this information of numbering them with Israel. And I know there's a spiritual significance there. And it was divided. The people were divided. The wealth of the people were divided between Rome, between Herod, or whoever was the king then, and the Roman governor. because it's Jesus's birth. Anyway.
Amen. Like, you know, one way that God is going to get bring people to the truth somebody's open. Diane, yeah. Let me mute you, Diane. I got you. one way he's going to do it, we've had dreams about this, is about angels bringing people into places of God's teaching. We've had translations of people going out and bringing people back. One of them, I remember that Sandy was going to go to, was translated over to California, and she thought she was just going to bring one back, but when she came back, it was about 100 of them with her that came back to this particular place here. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to send his angels out to bring them here and other places too. There's refugees all over the world, you know. I know of, just in the United States, I know of 1, 2, 3, 4, counting higher, that are scattered anywhere from California to Arkansas to wherever. One up in, where is it? Up north somewhere. I usually kind of just dismiss those because it's going to be too cold up there. Where? Anyway, but it's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. People are going to know where to go, the ones that are God has designated. Yeah, Leo.
I was going to say that one up north maybe have the hot springs around it too.
Good, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sure have to if I went there. Thank you, Lord. It could, yeah. That's one of the theories about the Hawaiian weather here. Yeah, Pat.
One thing I thought about it though was in this time when churches are going to be burning, and you know, like this terrible scenario that just happened in Sri Lanka, or I forgot the name.
Sri Lanka,
is that what it is?
Yeah.
Where you had people being blown up and that sort of thing.
That was coordinated attack, by the way. By the
correct. Day. Yeah. And it ain't
going to stop there either.
Right. I guess the thing I was going to say is it's pretty hard to blow up a conference room like that we have here, you know.
We might see somebody blipped off or something, but the whole bunch is going to go.
Well, it sounds funny. I say that comically to a certain degree, but also there's a certain attraction there as well, because you can't stop God's word, you know. And people will be drawn to this particular venue if it's available in that time, you know.
So, hey, who's to say that God can't do it supernaturally?
Amen. I agree. Yeah. 100%.
I believe it don't make no never mind where I'm at. I'm going to have electricity and running water. Y'all believe that? Y'all come visit and I'll show it to you. We're going to have it. And y'all will too if you believe. Yeah, I'm going to have gasoline for my pickup too. I'm going to be just like David. I said, all that stuff don't bother me. I don't need it. Lord of God. I'm sitting over there just holding on to that. I ain't going to walk. I'm going to make him walk every step of the way to go get that gas. But we never run out. Praise God. He taught me a lesson. Yeah, Missy.
Well, you know, if, you know, you kind of spoke something similar to this earlier, you know, the Spirit of God is everywhere and it's, you know, powerful. God is an omnipotent God. He's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. His spirit is everywhere. We know it's by the power of, you know, the spirit of God that we can overcome anything, you know? You know, that the spirit is God's power and grace flowing to us, you know, to do whatever according to his will. So it's like, yeah, I mean, if he's, I mean, when you really think about it, it's pretty cool. I mean, there's nothing, there's nothing, you know, that the Lord can't do and won't do for us. And when you think too, you know, that we have authority, you know, use the authority, you know, yeah, we don't have to do without. We don't have to do without. So, thank you, Lord.
Well, if you just remember this, if you need gasoline for your car, did not Jesus turn water into wine?
Amen.
Why can't he turn water into gasoline? You pour that water in there, get in there, start it up, it's going. Or you can just believe that it's already in there.
Exactly. Like the Lord filling up that spaghetti pot.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, none of them were hungry. It kind of makes you wonder, you know, that thing, you know, nobody was hungry. They were all sitting around the table. They didn't have anything to eat. You know, this David's story. And, it, you know, one by one, well, I'm not hungry, you know, or and some of them might have said, well, I feel full, or I don't know. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but, you know, it makes you wonder, okay, did the Lord take the hunger from them, or did he literally put food in their belly? It just makes you wonder how he did that, you know?
Yeah.
Just wondering.
I know. It really doesn't make any difference how he does it, as long as he does it.
You know? Right.
I kind of like to let it flow through my mouth so I can taste it. You know what I'm talking about? But whatever he wants to do, that's fine. Hey, Ken, how's it going, brother? Hi, Ken. Hadn't seen you in a while, brother. Good to have you on. Okay. Y'all remember Ken, don't you? Amen. All right. We got a little bit of time now. Now talk some more about miracles. We're going to see a bunch of them. We're going to see a bunch of them. Larry Bowers, is that you? Hey, Larry. Can you hear me, Larry? Hi, Ken. Ken Favor. Can you hear me, Ken? Come in, Ken. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
I was going to say about people finding the Lord in the times to come. We got people here internationally, all over this country and stuff, that people are going to will know that, you know, we're doing the things of the Lord, you know, and Joe Britz will be. Tell them to get in touch with UBM, and Andrew will be telling them to get in touch with UBM and so forth. So we'll all be sharing that that as well as people being translated, like you're saying, and so forth. So I don't have any qualms about the Lord doing what he's going to do. So that's kind of cool.
Amen. I think we're going, you know, it may not even transpire even like we think it is, and most generally it don't. You know, Lord has his own way of doing things, and we like to sit around and pontificate on what God's going to do, but God can do it any way he wants to. I don't care. I'll tell you what, we're going to see some things here shortly that's going to blow our mind. Wow, did you see that? Glory to God. God did that. Oh, my. I got to go tell somebody. You know, that kind of stuff's going to happen. It's going to be like a lightning rod hits somebody, and that's just going to wake them up. That's what it's going to do. It's just going to wake them up. Yep, I believe it too. It's an exciting time right ahead of us. Exciting time. I'll tell you what, we're going to have a... The Lord is going to take each one of us by the hand, and he's going to lead us, and he's going to show us what he can do through us. And you're going to be amazed at what you do. Not what somebody else does, but what you do. I want to encourage you because, hey, I've had a little taste of it, but I'm so excited about what God fixing to do. Yeah, Joe.
Now, I've always seen videos of revival meetings of different, like, you know, evangelists and preachers, and the ones where people are, I mean, well, you know, I have to wonder some of them if they're real or not, but it's just like the people who are just like broken and, you know, convicted and, you know, I mean, tearfully, you know, repentant. I'm interested. I mean, at times I'll have just like thoughts come to mind. And I know, I guess it's just like I'm just envisioning certain things, and I'm thinking that'll be, for me, I think I'm looking forward to that, just seeing people repent. You know, I mean, if it takes brokenness, you know, I mean, because that's what it was for me. And I'll look at my family or people I knew. You know, I see these people just kind of falling deeper and deeper into sin and just, you know, going through struggles. And it's just like, you know, I mean, literally rebelling against God. But it's just like, it'll be so encouraging to see them broken, repentant before God. Just God, you know, thank you for saving me. I'm sorry for what I did, you know, and all that. And it's just, it'll be encouraging, you know. Just
we're going to see.
Amen.
You remember what I was talking about, Joe, about the New Hebrides revival. That's what happened in that. That was a repentance revival. There's all kinds of different. There was the revival at Azusa Street. That was a healing miracle revival. Yep. That brought a lot of people in. But there's all different kinds of revivals. We're going to see them all encapsulated into one revival this time.
Wow.
God's going to just supernaturally do all of that at one time. Going to populate heaven. It's going to be an awesome time. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for this time you've given us a kind of a fish eye view of what's going to happen, Lord, but I don't think we can even comprehend the things that you're going to do and that you have for each one of us in the years ahead. And Lord, I just thank you that every one of us get to sit up in heaven and talk about those times together. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're placing in everybody's heart to run after you and absolutely surrender everything to you, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you fill each one of us up with your Holy Spirit so much so that there's nothing left in the heart but you and your love, Lord. Because I know that love that you have will be just like a light bulb going off in front of them. That people will see that love and they'll be drawn to it like a moth to a light. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in every one of us. And that in the days ahead, all of us are going to be an evangelist of some way or fashion. And Father, thank you so much for bringing all of us together so that we could meet from all parts of the world right here. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for my brothers and sisters right here. And I ask, Lord, that you bless each and every one of them with your presence and your joy and your peace in their heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a great night of sleeping and waking up in the morning for Judy. She's going to be bouncing off the walls in the morning, Lord of God. She's going to wonder where it all went to. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. And bless Missy while she's up there in at home with her parents, and let her be a light to them. in Jesus' name. And everybody else too. Thank you, Father. Amen. Good night, y'all. Let me unmute everybody. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all.
Everybody.